Hello, hello, and it's Sunday, so that means another episode of Bite Sized Blessings is dropping today. This is episode 88, y'all, and it's so exciting. My guest this week is so funny and so self-deprecating, and at the very end of the episode, after the credits, I have two additional stories from Pastor DG. Hopefully both of them will make you laugh. I couldn't find a place to put them in the podcast, so I put them at the very end because I thought that they were too great to be missed. So, yes, it's episode 88 of Bite Sized Blessings. And my guest this week, Pastor D.G. Hollums, is really such a creative and fun human being. He is an exceptional photographer, and you'll be able to see his images, and I'm going to provide a link to his website so you can check out his work under the episode show notes. But Pastor D.G., his photographs are more than that. They're very contemplative, and as he explained to me, they're meant to encourage Visio Divina. And from the trusty internet, Visio Divina is translated as divine seeing. It is related to the prayer form Lectio Divina, divine reading, but instead of scripture, this form of prayer uses visual elements to help set your mind on prayer. It allows God to speak into your heart through the image. And let me tell you, I have looked at his photographs and they are so beautiful and so evocative. I really urge every listener to go to his website, check out his art, check out his photography, and see if those photographs speak to you, if they lead you somewhere, maybe even into a more contemplative mood. So now, episode 88 of Bite Sized Blessings.
And I really got into movies in home theaters, like home movies and stuff. So I wanted to have the best TV. I wanted to have the best speakers. I wanted to have the best, you know, DVD player, all this stuff. And I would do research all the time when I was working at Long John's, during breaks and stuff. I'd just go to websites and read about, the best movies that had the best sound or the best picture quality or whatever else. And I went and ordered from online a really expensive DVD player that was progressive scan. That was the big thing. I mean, it was like a $400 DVD player, and we're living in a seminary. We're not making tons of money, but I did spend that money, and I did not tell my wife. And then she found out, well, how much was this? And I was like, oh, it was around $400. And she's like, $400? Wow, my gosh. And I told her, I said, oh, yeah, well, it was my friend in college, and he bought the chair that I left there, and he gave me the money, and that's what I bought it with. It was a complete lie. The closest thing I can think of that I just have no other explanation but God. I guess that's the only thing I could and it's not good about me. It's just like this bad story of me, which is probably what it's typical. When we were first married, my wife and I were first married, we were in seminary. I had a major problem with materialism. And I really got into movies in home theaters, like home movies and stuff. So I wanted to have the best TV. I wanted to have the best speakers. I wanted to have the best, DVD player. I wanted, all this stuff. And I would do research all the time when I was working at Long John's, during breaks and stuff. I'd just go to websites and read about, the best movies that had the best sound or the best picture quality or whatever else. And I just got really, really into that. And I went and ordered from online a really expensive DVD player that was progressive scan. That was the big thing. I mean, it was like a $400 DVD player, and we're living in a seminary. We're not making tons of money. I was making decent money, but I was still on the lowest rung of corporate America, so it was not a whole bunch. But I did spend that money, and I did not tell my wife. And then she found out, well, how much was this? And I was like, oh, it was around $400. And she's like, $400? Wow, my gosh. And I told her, I said, oh, yeah, well, it was my friend in college, and he bought the chair that I left there, and he gave me the money, and that's what I bought it with. It was a complete lie. Just a complete because I had a problem with materialism. I'll do anything to be able to, you know, whatever. Welcome to the world of brokenness and sin. it just way too tempting, and you have to tell a bunch of white lies to make up for it. But anyway, nothing was said after that. She totally believed my lie. And I was like, okay, good. All right. I'm safe. We're good. We're all right. And this is when we were first married, right? I mean, I was just like, okay, this will be a marriage that I can be able to throw a little white lie into every now and then. It would be all right. That happened like in January. The next December, this is like almost 12 months difference between these time periods. We went to her family's house in Lovington, New Mexico for Christmas. She was taking a shower and she called me into her parents' bedroom after she took a shower. And she goes, I need to talk to you about something. And I was like, yeah, what's up? And she said, Greg did not give you the money for that DVD player. 12 months afterwards, like, we had not discussed anything since the last time in January. And I was like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? You know, back it up as much as I can. And she literally said, God told me in the shower that was not the truth. And I was busted. I was just like, yeah. And so I just poured out my heart and said, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, blah, blah, blah. And it was great though, because it's almost like God was like, hey, I want to set a precedence for your marriage real quick. You're not going to get away with anything because your wife has this wonderful innate ability to have a conversation with me. And she really does. She can, I tell people all the time, probably the most miraculous stuff I know of is how she can be able to read people. She just has this unique connection with God. And, you know, she can be able to say deep in your heart, you're a good person, you're not. I mean, she really does kind of have that. I don't know how, and I have no explanations other than this is just God. This is going to be God here. And so just like that, I have no explanation for that. You can call it a miracle if you want to. Maybe all the wives out there are like, yeah, that was a miracle. Or the husbands are like, oh, dude, yeah, that sucks, man. That was a miracle. But I'm so glad, you know, I really am so glad. My marriage is so much more richer because I know right up front, I can't lie to her. I really never want to lie to her. I didn't want to lie to her the last time. I just was so caught up in materialism and missing the mark there that I was just blinded. But there have been several times, and it's so funny because I'm the guy who wants to go talk to the people that she would say that person's bad. So she'd be like, that person's good, that person's good, that person's bad. I'm like, I'm making a beeline to the bad person because I love hanging out with those people. I want to go see what makes them tick, and let's hear stories from them and get to know them and get to love on them. And it's funny because I'm the one who runs towards all the bad stuff because I love people. And I feel like those are people that have not experienced love very much, and they need to experience it because it's a pretty powerful, amazing thing. I don't think that God sees miracles as we see miracles. I think that's just everyday things to God. And so maybe the closer we get to God, the more we can be able to see miracles as not just, oh my gosh, but yeah, that's God. You know, it's a difference. There's a difference between being blown away by it or having it happen and say, isn't that cool? I love that.
That's episode 88 of Bite-Sized Blessings. I need to thank my very, very funny and very self-effacing guest, Pastor D.G. Hollums, for sharing his story with me. And as I said before, there are a couple more stories at the very end of these credits. So if you have the time, give them a listen. they are actually pretty funny. In one of them, you'll discover how it's possible to actually fail at a conference about failing. And that was the one that kind of took my breath away and I think will enchant you. As well as thanking Pastor DG, I need to thank the creators of the music used in this episode as well. Chilled Music, Music L Files, Alexander Nakarada, Taiga Sound Productions, John Bartman, Frank Schroeder, and Kevin McLeod. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to groovy music, other artists, books, and playlists I think will lift and brighten your day. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Pastor DG. How can you be more childlike? How can you incorporate more play into your life? Because that play and that joining of the 501st or the rebel forces, that's what's going to heal a broken world. And if you want to join the rebel forces, contact Pastor DG. He'll be happy to set you up.
So the first one with my wife was, it was so awesome. It's so epic. She's from New Mexico. I'm from the panhandle of Texas. So I grew up in a little tiny, small West Texas podunk town, all cotton farming and stuff like that. And then she grew up in Lovington, New Mexico. And her dad was a banker and her mom was a teacher, just like my mom was a teacher. So we had kind of similar. And her dad was in the Army. My dad was in the Air Force. And we really have a lot of similarities going on. Anyway. I had told her that the reason that White Sands had turned white was because of all the nuclear testing that they did, that it caused a chemical reaction in the sand to turn it white. And so she's really, I'm like, yeah, isn't that cool? Oh, that's so cool. So anytime we met anybody and they found out she was from New Mexico and they ever asked about White Sands or talked about, she would pull that fact up. Like she was so proud of knowing that fact. It was a complete lie. So then while we were in seminary, we had dinner with a friend of ours who is from New Mexico. He is a rocket scientist and he worked at White Sands. And of course, we went there to eat, and I was like, "Well, what are you doing?" He's like, and I was like, "Oh, no! 3 years, 3 years. It's been 3 years." And of course, Tiffany and her love of showing off how much she knows about chemical engineering and chemical reactions to sand said that, and he said, and you could just see his face like, "Who told you that?" That was not like, no, you're wrong. He just basically said, who told you that? And of course, I'm sitting there at the dinner table. And I'm like, oh. And then, of course, she said, well, DG did. And he was like, and he looked at me and I was like, yeah, it was me. I said it. And he was like, what? And I was like, well, I really was giving her a hard time at first, and then it just kept on snowballing, and then she just kept on telling everybody for the next 3 years, and everyone believed her, and I thought, hey, this is awesome. So I actually had a gag, a lie that lasted 3 years before it was debunked by an actual rocket scientist that was going to seminary with us. So yeah, that's the first one. That's the hilarious one of talking like, my wife does have that ability to know if you're lying or not, but sometimes it doesn't come across for really close family members, I guess. Or maybe it was, maybe God enjoyed it. God's like, yeah, watch this. She's going to do it for 3 years. I don't know. but that one was not, that one was just done not out of spite. It was just out of, I love giving somebody a hard time. But anyway, the second story is just hilarious because I just got my first job at the Global United Methodist Church. Wait, I can't even stop saying global because that's the split that they're saying that the global Methodist church. It was globally wide, but I worked at United Methodist Communications with UMCOM, and they're the ones who do TV ads and radio ads and social media. And, you know, they just do all the communication stuff and they provide all the content for the websites and everything else. And they work with an ad agency. And that's kind of what I was doing when I was at Long John Silver's, was working with an ad agency and helping out with, you know, TV spots or coupons in different markets and so on. Anyway, and they hired me to be able to be the social media director of Rethink Church, which was kind of like, it was still a part of the UMCOM, you know, Methodist Communications, but it was like, it's intentionally supposed to just focus on social media and really work on building relationships with people that were, you know, Gen X, Gen Y, you know, Gen Z, stuff like that. So anyway, I got that job. I moved from Bernalillo, New Mexico to Nashville, Tennessee, because that's where the job is. It was a decent paying job. We lived in a suburbia. We had a nicer house. And everything was great. But the first week I was there, they had a conference. They were actually like doing a conference. And the whole conference was talking about how to help, and I don't like the term third world country, but how to help really low income countries deal with whatever their issues are. And especially when it comes to massive natural events like earthquakes and tsunamis and stuff like that. But it was all about how technology is used to help support those kinds of things, which is a really cool conference. One of the things that they had at the conference was a fail conference. And I don't know if you've ever heard of a fail conference, but the idea of a fail conference is to be able to say, here are the ways that we fail, and we're going to celebrate these things instead of poo-poo them and throw them under the rug. And, you know, because it, the only way, you know, it's the whole, there's a 2020 episode talking about design work. And they said, you know, our motto is to fail often to succeed sooner. And that's kind of the model the term I used when I was doing the church plant stuff. It's just like, oh, you know what? We're going to fail. That's just part of it. But we're just going to fail as often as we can so we can actually get to the success piece. So that's kind of the mentality of a fail conference. And so they were having a short fail conference, and this guy was leading it, and he was telling people, you know, like, hey, well, when you're trying to teach countries, you know, the importance of getting a malaria shot when they don't want to do that, what do you do? And these people were saying, oh yeah, well, we had a lot of failures in that because it was mostly communication failures, because you know, we realized, oh, the only person that they would actually listen to would be like a bishop of the church on the radio waves, not just the Methodist church telling them they need to go get, you know, a shot, or they need to wash their hands for Ebola or something like that. And so they talked about all these, you know, mistakes that they made that were communication errors and not being able to do those communication things. And they had to fail before they figure what's going on. So, and then the person was like, okay, well, this is great. This has been great. Does anybody in the audience want to share any fail stories, maybe even fail stories about communication or something like that, that, you know, that you've experienced personally? And this is the first week at work for me. Okay. And all I was supposed to be doing is live tweeting the conference. So I'm just looking for good, you know, quotes and putting it in there and saying who said it and sending it out, you know, kind of a thing. And I really felt God was like, you need to get up and tell them the stories. And I was just like, no, I don't want to. This is crazy. And God's like, nope, get up there. And I was like, okay. So I went up there. And of course, now you have to also understand, this was a global wide conference. So we had people from Africa there. We had people from super, super conservative, like Georgia, you know, southern states, kind of a thing. And so when I got up there, I told two stories. And I said, the first one was I had a really good friend of mine in seminary. He was Korean. His name is John Choi, one of the most brilliant people I know of. Passed away due to brain cancer, which was just so heart aching because he was just such a smart, smart, amazing man. But anyway, he and his wife, Sylvia, invited us over to eat because I kept on saying, man, I want to eat real Korean food. We are in Kentucky. I really don't know if there's anything around here that even has that, you know, Cincinnati area maybe, but I just said, man, I want the real stuff. And he's like, okay, all right, come over. I'll cook you some bulgogi and my wife will make you some food. And he said, we'll do it. Let's do it. I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, I'm so happy because I'm the fat white guy. I'm like, yeah, I want to eat. The best way I know of to love another culture is to actually eat with the culture. If you could cook with the culture, man, it's even better. If I can cook with a grandmother of the culture and then eat and then be all together, that is the best way of ever learning a different culture, I think, in my personal opinion. But anyway, so they made this the meal, and I was eating foods I had never eaten in my entire life. I mean, I'm born and raised in West Texas. You know, this is not Korean. It's not the food you're going to be eating. And so I was eating it and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I said, this is really good. Now, what I didn't know is John invited the entire Korean youth group, the Korean Methodist Church youth group, over to that night too, because he kind of was like, yeah, let's meet the white guy night, you know? And so Tiffany and I both went over there because we were really good friends with John and Sylvia, and I love him to death. And so he just brought all the youth over. He was like, this guy's hilarious. He's fun. He's fun to hang out with. You'll enjoy. So we're sitting there eating this traditional Korean food. And of course the youth are like, oh my gosh, I haven't had this since my grandma cooked it, you know, kind of stuff. And I turned to Sylvia and I said, Sylvia, this kochi is the best kochi I've ever had in my entire life. This is so good. And I was trying to say kimchi, but it came out kochi. And it was really good. And I looked over and Sylvia was like, and I thought she was being a very typical, you know, a very typical, no, I, you know, humble and sweet, you know, woman or whatever. And I was like, no, Sylvia, I am not going to let you take, you know, just the humble road out of this. This is, I just want to eat more and more kochi and put more and more kochi in my mouth. This is the best kochi I've ever had in my life. And I look up and then all the youth that were there are literally on the ground rolling laughing. And Celia Capon was like, stop, just stop. And I was like, what? And John whispered in my ear, he said, it's called kimchi. Kochi means penis. I had no idea that I was doing that. But I told them, with that failure, the youth actually respected me more. John and Sylvia loved me even more because they knew I was trying. Even though I failed miserably, they knew I was trying. So I said that at the conference. That's what I said. And I said, and the second story I have is when I was with my wife and we had just been engaged to be married. And Tiffany's grandmother was born in Mexico City. So she is full on Mexican and has a very thick accent. And I was trying to show off, you know, that I love to speak Spanish when I can. I'm not great at it, but at least I'm trying, you know, kind of a thing. And so I was trying to tell her, you know, and she was asking questions like, how do you think you're going to live on a pastor's salary? Like that is, you know, she was really worried that I was not going to be able to take care of Tiffany. And that's so hilarious because Tiffany usually takes care of me financially than me take care of her. I mean, she's making more, I think, where she's at right now as the associate pastor in Albuquerque than I am the senior pastor of this church. But anyway, and I was trying to say, you know, I'm very large. And so I held up my hand straight in front of my belly and I said, yo soy muy largo. And large is grande. Largo is long. And I'm holding my hand out as far as I can hold it out, right in front of my crotch, saying how long I was. And I had no idea. I said, you know, yeah, yo soy muy largo. And her grandma was like, ay, mi Dios. So I told those two stories, and of course, everyone's laughing. And I said, but you know what? I really think I won Tiffany's grandmother's heart that day, because again, she knew I was trying, and she knew I was not scared to try. and knew that I was probably going to be able to get through things and support her granddaughter and things like that. And I said, I think that's really the importance of failing often is so that you can be able to, number one, eat your own mistakes and eat some humble pie, and then you can move on. So you're not as, you know, no nervous about it. But it really did help me grow a deeper relationship with all those people through my failures. And then I got down and I stepped off the stage and I sat down. Well, as soon as I sat down, the conference kept on going on, and my boss comes and sits by me, and she said, "What part of that did you think was ever even remotely appropriate as being a you know, an employee of the United Methodist Communications?" And I was like, "What? It's a fail conference. You're supposed to tell stories of where you failed." And I said, and honestly, I was praying about it. I didn't want to go up, but God told me to go up. And so anyway, the joke is, and she said, "Okay, well, you're not allowed to do any more interviews at all for social media for us. It's going to have to be this other person that we just hired. You can walk around with him if you want to, but and everything you do in social media has got to go through another person before it can ever be approved to be going online." And I was just like, okay. So I was literally written up the first week at my job at a United Methodist Global Communications, general conference level thing, because I failed at the fail conference.